Wow, what a great service of music and worship. And thank you guys, thank you choir, thank you musicians and vocalists, thank you Taylor, thank you. You are awesome. Hey, she makes us sound good back there. Hey, man, God is good, isn't he? We've been reminded through song today, such great theology, such great truth in the songs that we sang this morning. We serve an amazing God. We serve one who gives us the opportunity to be saved through his son Jesus. Man, what a great, great truth, and what a great offering of worship through song this morning. Thank you. Thank you, Daryl. Hey, it's time we release our children volunteers to Children's Church. So I want to invite you guys to head back in that direction. Those of us that are left, if you'll take your Bible and turn to Matthew chapter 15. Rand, I intended to leave this for you just in case Ainsley calls. You can jump up and take it. Some of you may be wondering why I just gave Rand my phone. This is the Sunday where possibly we can hear from Ainsley. And just in case she calls during the service, I wanted Randa to have the phone so she could get up and answer it. So if she jumps up and runs out, you'll know why. Okay? Just want to kind of clarify that. Well, hey, this morning we're going to begin a new series. And as I've been praying about where to go next and just thinking about what is it that God would say to us, I'm just going to be honest. This is probably for me more than it is for you. This series, God has been challenging me. This series, God has been convicting me of some things in my own life. And I'm trying to follow the Lord. I'm trying to be the man God wants me to be. But there are always areas of our life that God is really good about pointing out and say, hey, you're not doing too well in this area. And I'm just going to be honest, this is an area of my life that I struggle with. I've always told you, I want to be honest and upfront with you. I'm just like you. I'm a man struggling to honor God with my life. I'm a man who's struggling to honor God with my speech. I'm a man who's struggling to honor God in my family. I struggle just like you do. And so I don't think I'm so different from you. So I think this series that we're going to look into and we're going to kind of walk through is for me, but I think it's also for you because we are the same. We're all on this journey of honoring God with our lives. And so I want to kind of spend the next few weeks talking about how our words matter. How our words matter. Our words are important. You know, there's this old nursery rhyme or saying that we teach our kids when we're trying to help them deal with bullies and how to deal with people that say hurtful things, that sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. That's such a lie. Such a lie. The most damaging things that happen in our life most often come from the words that others speak to us, speak over us, speak around us, speak of us. Words can be very hurtful. Words can tear down. Words can damage a psyche. Words can create scars in our lives that take us years and years. Sometimes people never get over the scars that have been caused by the words of our parents, the words of our siblings, the words of our spouse, the words of someone that we looked up to, someone that we cared about, someone that we thought highly of, would say something careless or even something intentional in a moment of anger, will say something that absolutely destroys a part of our life and creates scars that plague us for years to come. But words can also build up. Words can also encourage. Words can also help us overcome these struggles. Scientists have studied and psychologists have looked into, and they say that we need 10 times more positive words to overcome one negative word. That when someone says something negative in our lives or speaks negativity into our lives or speaks hurtful things, to move beyond that and to help overcome that, it takes up to 10 times as many to move beyond to overcome. And it's a struggle. And we as Christians, we as Christ followers, we're instructed to live radically different lives. And we do. We try in this church and in this body, and I as your pastor try to lead you to reach out into the community and to be givers and to be investors and to be people who are on mission with the Lord. And it's not just about coming to church, it's about being the church, living radically different lives. But where that needs to begin, and probably the place where it most needs to happen, is in our words. We can do all kinds of good things in our community. We can do all kinds of good things for people that are hurting, but one word said in anger, one word said without thinking, one word can destroy what we're doing. One attitude that we don't may not even think about how we're saying it. We may not even think about how they're hearing it, but it destroys and damages and undoes all the work that we've been trying to do as Christ followers and as a church. The most important area of our life that we need to examine and let the Holy Spirit work, and I'm confessing as your pastor, this is where in my life I need to let the Lord begin to do some heavy-duty work in my own heart. We need to let the Lord get hold of our mouth and change the words we say. Well, as I launch off in this, I want us to begin in Matthew, and we're going to go in two different passages in Matthew. We're going to begin in Matthew chapter 15. And this is a time in Jesus' ministry where God is doing some amazing things through him. He just got through feeding the masses. He just got through walking on the water. The disciples saw him do some crazy things and just are in awe of who he is. But here come the Pharisees. And the Pharisees come in and they begin to nitpick a little bit. And that's where we're going to pick up in chapter 15, verse 1. God has been doing some amazing things in Jesus. And he's been demonstrating his power to the disciples and to the crowds. And the Pharisees show up on the scene and they begin to nitpick about some things that don't really matter. Christians, that's us too often. God begins to do some great things, and God is at work, and God's moving. But we begin to nitpick about things that have no bearing on the gospel. We begin to nitpick about things that have no bearing on whether someone's really following Christ or not. We begin to nitpick about stuff that don't mean a thing. And we destroy what God's doing. And we make it more difficult for people to love Jesus and to follow Jesus because of the words that we say and the attitudes that are the manifestation or cause the manifestation of those words. So if you would stand with me, we're going to begin reading in chapter 15, verse 1 of the Gospel of Matthew. It says, "Then some Pharisees and scribes came to Jesus from Jerusalem and said, 'Why do your disciples break the traditions of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat bread.' And Jesus answered and said to them, 'Why do you yourselves transgress the commandment of God for the sake of your traditions? For God said, "Honor your father and your mother, and he who speaks evil of your mother will be put to death. But you say, whoever says to his father or mother, "Whatever I have that would help you has been given to God," he is not to honor his father or mother. And by this you invalidate the word of God for the sake of your traditions. You hypocrites, rightly did Isaiah prophesy of you, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrine the precepts of men.' After Jesus called the crowd to himself, he said to them, 'Hear and understand. It is not what enters the mouth that defiles the man, but what proceeds out of the mouth that defiles the man.' Then the disciples came to him and says, 'Do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this statement?' But he answered and said, 'Every plant which my heavenly Father did not plant shall be uprooted. Let them alone. They are blind guides of the blind. And if the blind man guides a blind man, both will fall into a pit.' Peter said to him, 'Explain the parable you told us.' And Jesus said, 'Are you still lacking of understanding also? Do you not understand that everything that goes into the mouth passes into the stomach and is eliminated? But the things that proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and those defile a man. For out of the heart comes evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, sexual immorality, thefts, false witness, slanders. These are the things which defile the man, but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile the man. Let's pray. God, we thank you for your great grace. God, we thank you. We thank you for your Holy Spirit, Lord, that transforms our hearts and our minds, God. But Lord, we have a part to play. We have to submit ourselves. God, we have to let the light of your word shine on every aspect of our life and every corner and every portion of our heart, God, to be transformed and then submit to your word when you reveal it to us. So God, I pray today that the desire of our heart would be to submit to your word and let your Holy Spirit, God, may the Holy Spirit that dwells in us transform us. God, change the way we talk. We would allow you to create in us the heart of Barnabas, the encourager, rather than one that tears down and nitpicks, argues over things that don't matter. God, help us not defile ourselves by the words we speak, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind and our hearts. God, we love you, we praise you, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So when the Pharisees came to Jesus with this aggravation, what had happened, the disciples had been with Jesus, they had been on the boat, Jesus walked on the water. Jesus brought them to the edge of the Sea of Gennesaret, and the people were coming, and the people were sick, and the people were lame, and Jesus and the disciples were there healing the people, so therefore they were touching a lot of infirmed and a lot of sick people who were considered by the Jews as unclean. And so if you touch someone who is sick, you touch someone who is lame, you touch someone who is infirmed, then you yourself are unclean until the sun goes down, and you've got to ritually purify yourself before you can eat anything and before you can truly be in right relationship with God as far as the Jews were concerned. So when the disciples have been with Jesus and all these people were crowding around, they were touching people, we think we're bad germophobes and we touch a lot of people and we do a lot of things and we got to go get some Germex and clean our hands, don't we, Daryl? But we think of, I don't want to get sick. They're thinking, I don't want to get spiritually sick. I don't want to be contaminated spiritually by these people. And so the Pharisees come and they observe as the end of the day and the day is winding down. The disciples are hungry, so they get some bread and they start eating it, but they don't wash their hands. It may have been that there wasn't a place to wash their hands. It could have been just they're hungry and don't really care at the moment. I've been there, have you? And so the Pharisees are nitpicking and they're complaining to Jesus, why are your disciples not observing the traditions of our fathers? It's tradition that you must wash your hands before you eat or you're ritually unclean. And Jesus just flat out told them, you teach the traditions of men as doctrine. Rightly did Isaiah say that you honor me with your lips, but your heart's far from me. See, God's not so much concerned about our lips, it's our heart. But our lips give evidence of what's in our heart. And see, I'm going to be honest with you. Again, I've told you before, and I'm not proud of this fact, but I struggle with getting aggravated at folks. My wife, my children will tell you I struggle with road rage. Man, one of my, I'm just going to be, I'm trying to be honest. But the problem is, it's not just road rage. I get aggravated at a lot of things. And as I begin to prepare for this series and I begin to look at these passages, I begin to understand, God, Neil, it's not a word problem you have. It's a heart problem. And so just like you, I need the Lord to work in my heart so that my words will be different. Even when the people that I'm talking about don't hear me. In my truck riding down the road and somebody pulls out, I have no problem with somebody pulling out in front of me. Just get your foot on the gas and go. Don't pull out in front of me, make me slam on brakes and then go under the speed limit. But you know why I get frustrated at that? Because I'm selfish. I got somewhere to go and you're in my way. Selfishness is all it is. Self-centeredness. My time is too important for you to slow down. That's only one instance. There's many others. So it's a heart issue. I've got the same trouble that you have. And so Jesus is beginning to explain to the Pharisees, look, it's not what you take into your body that defiles you, it's what comes out of your body. So he says, you're more defiled because you're nitpicking over stuff that don't matter. And the things that does matter to the Lord, honoring your father and your mother, to live a life that's generous and giving and loving and kind, all of those things you're neglecting. Your heart isn't towards God. You do all the things around to make yourself look good, but you nitpick over stuff that don't matter. So it's a heart problem. And church, that's the same with us. We nitpick over stuff that don't matter. We argue and we fight over stuff that don't matter. Why? Because we have a heart problem. And so Jesus begins to tell this parable about the plant that God doesn't plant will be uprooted, and the disciples are kind of blows their mind. What has this got to do with traditions and honoring God? What is all this? What are you saying, Jesus? Just speak plain. And so Peter, the one who has the big mouth and the small brain at times, says, God, what are you talking about? Verse 17, he says, look, don't you understand that what you eat, the things you put in your mouth, doesn't defile you. It doesn't matter what kind of food you eat. It doesn't matter if you eat chitlins, cornbread, fish, pork, beef, vegetarian, vegan. None of that matters. That's not going to make you more spiritual. What matters is what comes out of your mouth. Because everything you eat just goes into your body. Your stomach digests it. Your body uses what it can use and eliminates the rest. It just passes right on through. It says, but what comes out of your mouth is an indication of the condition of your heart. And church, I'm just going to tell you, that is probably the best measuring rod of the condition of our heart is the words that we say. The words we say to our spouse, the words we say to our children, the words we say to one another, the words we say when we're frustrated. Because what happens, we're just like that old imagery that's been used by a lot of pastors before me, that we're much like a tube of toothpaste. You don't know what's inside till you squeeze it. And then whatever's inside is going to come out. When the pressure's on, when life is difficult, when things get to be a struggle and there's a lot of stress and a lot of worry in your life, that's when you're going to find out the condition of your heart. That's truly what you're going to know what your spiritual condition is because what comes out when the pressure's on, what comes out in that time of frustration, what comes out in that time of hurt and heartache and that time of worry and stress, that is the true you. Because when the pressure's not on, we can mask it. When the pressure's not on, we can bite our tongue. When the pressure's not on, we can hold back because it's not a big deal. The cultural pressure of the South can constrain us. But when the pressure's on, it overcomes the social constraints and what really is in our heart comes out. And the true us shines. I'm going to be honest. I don't really like the true me that comes out too often. So Jesus tells them it's not what goes into the body that defiles a man, but what comes out. Because from the heart, the mouth speaks. We'll look at that passage in just a moment. He says, for out of the heart come evil thoughts. See, our words are simply the product of what our heart is. Evil thoughts, evil words come from evil thoughts. I want to throat punch them, but I can't. So I'll just dress them down with my words. I want them to do what I want them to do, So I'll just shame them. Try and make them feel guilty. I'll belittle them so I can manipulate them into doing what I want them to do. See, our words are the product of what's in our heart. He says, from the heart come evil thoughts, murders. We get angry and we're mad and we're... most murders aren't just a heat-of-the-moment thing. If it is, it's still because we've developed hatred and self-centeredness and we've just got this all about us and our heart. The initial quick response is to kill them. But oftentimes, we don't really murder people. We just try to murder their reputation. We just try to kill their standing with other people. We just try and butcher how people think about them. The Bible says if you harbor hatred in your heart, you've murdered already. Then he goes on and says, from the heart come the actions of sexual impurities or fornication, taking, thefts, false witness, slanders. If you jump over to Mark 7, 21 and 22, this same event is recorded in the book of Mark, and there's a longer list of things that overflow from our heart. But all of them are because we've harbored, we've hung on to, we've developed and let our heart become involved in these evil desires, and these we're constrained for a while socially. We're struggling, and we're letting our southern hospitality restrain our lips, and we just can't say this, or we just say at the end, bless their heart, and that makes it okay. But when the pressure's on, what we've been harboring in our heart, what we've been hiding from others, what we've been holding on to comes out in the form of the words we say. And they show what really is in our heart. It says in verse 20, these are the things which defile a man, but eating with unwashed hands does not defile. If you will, switch over to Matthew chapter 12 with me. There's another passage of Scripture I want us to look at very briefly, because it bolsters up this idea that our words matter. It kind of helps to solidify and goes right along with what Jesus is teaching in Matthew chapter 15. Matthew 12, verse 33 through 37. Again, Jesus is teaching. He's rebuking the Pharisees. He talks about the unpardonable sin just before this, the blaspheming against the Holy Spirit. Every other sin can be forgiven, but blaspheming against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven, saying that this isn't the work of God, God's not real, and the Holy Spirit begins to convict us of sin, and we make excuses for it, and we say, God's not real, and God doesn't matter. Those things will never be forgiven, because we can't repent when we blaspheme the Holy Spirit. And so he says, continuing in this teaching, he says, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For the tree is known by its fruit. You brood of vipers, talking to the Pharisees, how can you, being evil, speak what is good? For the mouth speaks of that which fills the heart. The good man brings out of his goodness good treasure. And the evil man brings out of his evil treasure what is evil. But I tell you that every careless word, listen to this. I'm going to tell you, this has been just hammering me ever since I began preparing for this. But I tell you, every careless word that people speak, they shall give an accounting for in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you'll be condemned. Why is that? Because our words give testimony of what's really in our heart. It's by the things we say, when the pressure's on, when things aren't going our way, when the stress is high, it's the things that we say reveals the truth of the condition of our heart. So Jesus says the easiest way to judge whether you are following me, to whether how you're doing spiritually, is not by the things that you do, it's the things that you say. Because the things that you say is what's revealed in your heart. And every careless word, I'm going to give an account for. Every time in frustration, I said those things that cut. Every time that I've said those things that tear down, every time that I've tried to chip away at somebody's reputation because they've hurt me, every time I've said something without thinking, I'm going to give an account for it. I'm just going to tell you, I'm not looking forward to that day. I'm not. Because even now I struggle because I am selfish and I'm self-centered. And we're supposed to speak life into people, not tear people down. We're supposed to speak encouragement into people, not discouragement. We're supposed to build each other up, not tear each other down. As a follower of Christ, we are to speak the truth, absolutely. And there are times we need to have hard conversations, but we need to speak the truth in love for the purpose of building up and restoring and encouraging and even hard conversations and calling out sin and talking about things that we don't want to talk about. Those can be used by God to develop in us a character and to develop in the person that we're talking with the character of Christ and to lead them to righteousness and to build them up in their love for the Lord and how they're living for the Lord and to stop sinning and to stop doing those things that are hurtful to their reputation in Christ and the power of God and their witness for Christ. All of those things can happen, but only when we do it in love. Not trying to tear them down. I'm not saying you can't ever have a hard conversation with somebody. Sometimes we have to. But it's the motivation and the attitude of that conversation that matters. That's why Jesus said, look, before you try to take the speck out of your brother's eye, take the log out of yours. Make sure that you're doing it for the right reason. Make sure that your heart is right and what you want is restoration and what you want is redemption and what you want is Christ-likeness in both of you, not just to point out how bad they are so you'll feel good about yourself. Out of the overflow of the heart, what fills the heart, the mouth speaks. I want to ask you, how's your heart? Think back over the last few weeks. If you're like me, it don't take many days for frustration or things to happen. Driving down the road every day, I told you, that's a struggle for me. But think back over the week as you've talked with your spouse about finances or about the kids, about what we're going to do next. Whatever that thing is that creates stress in your relationship, think about your conversation. How are your words? Parents, think about with your kids. There are times you need to get on to your kids. There are times you need to correct your kids. There are times you need to discipline your kids. But did you say it? Did you do it with the right attitude and the right heart? Were your words hurtful because you were angry and frustrated because they did something they knew they shouldn't do? Or were they corrective and loving because that's the way God deals with you? See, our words matter. And as a Christ follower, our words are the first glimpse that people get of our Savior. Today, if you're here and you've never accepted Christ, you're a good person. Yeah, obviously, you're pretty good. You're in church on a Sunday. have you experienced the forgiveness of your sins, or are you just trying to be good enough to get there? I'm going to tell you, your words give you away. They show your desperate need for salvation. They show your desperate need to be reborn. They show the fact that you aren't good enough. Surrender your heart and your life to Jesus today. That's your only hope of salvation. Christian, how are your words? Do you understand how much your words matter? It's not the words that are the problem, it's the heart that produces those words. That's the problem. So today, maybe you're like me, you have to do some confession and repentance. I've done that. Need to do more of it. But God wants to change our heart so that our words and our actions will be changed. But it begins in the heart. Gossip. Bitterness. Tearing down reputations. Always having to be right. More concerned about winning an argument than showing the love of Christ. All of those are indications of a heart problem that God needs to work on. But He won't do it unless you let Him. Today, let's open up our hearts to the Lord and say, God, examine me. Show me my evil heart. Show me what I need to confess. Show me how I need to be changed. And then give Him the freedom to do it. Let's stand.